No, thank goodness I'm not an Englishman. And we're not going to be Englishmen much longer, or even temporary Englishmen, because we've gotten good news, Lee. We're going to be able to come home earlier than we had expected. Things are working out beautifully. A new couple is coming, and they would like for us to get out of the house in time for them to put a roof on it. The roof is shot full of holes, and we agree that they need at least a couple of weeks to get it ready for them. So we had already decided that we were going to be going early. But since that word, we've gotten even an additional word that one of the missionaries here, Dave Harrison, who is finishing language school in 2 weeks, and who was going to be working full-time in one of the rooftop school chapels, is not going to be doing that now, at least not right away. And he will be available to take Bethany full-time until the new couple get here. And so it looks like we're going to be able to get away within the month. And we still, of course, haven't any idea how we're going to go. I checked today, and there was a flight to the Philippines today. Then Monday, I think it was, is one to Taiwan, one of the military flights. Whether or not there was space on them for us, we don't know about that, but I didn't even go out to find out. But at least we know that things are still moving and military planes are still flying out of here with the possibility of space available. We're going to start packing and shipping things and getting the decks cleared, so we'll be with our suitcase in our hand ready to go when the time comes, which should be within another 4 or 5 Sundays. And we'll maybe move in with Ducky and Griff until so we can check in at the airport each day and await whatever's going out and try getting out space available. We think. We haven't fully made up our mind. There is a charter flight on this Asian American Recreation Club the 12th of March, but that's a little previous. We could conceivably go then, but it would be kind of a dirty trick on Dave. Because I think, did he say he graduated the 12th or 8th? You know, that's cutting it pretty close. So we probably won't take that one. It's less than $300 for each one of us to Oakland. And of course that would put us close enough where we could come to see you. But that still leaves us all the way across country, and it can run kind of expensive from there to get back to Florida. So what we would like to do is to catch some flight that goes either, well, there are two ways we could go. One is if we go down in the Philippines to Clark, we can go from there to Bangkok, and from Bangkok on around through India and through Greece. It stops at Greece and Turkey, and then it goes to Frankfurt or Madrid, and from there it goes on over to either Charleston or Dover, Delaware. And that way we'd be on the East Coast and just a reasonable fee to get home. The other way, there's a possibility that there are flights that go from Japan, from Tachikawa up near Tokyo, to Anchorage, Alaska. And that's Elmendorf Air Force Base. And from there, Mother can fly with me, space available, because it's considered foreign duty outside the immediate contiguous states anyway. And she's allowed to fly space available from there all the way across country to Dover, Delaware, which is, they have a regular flight that goes from Anchorage to Dover. And we would kind of like to get that in a way, except the thought of Anchorage, Alaska in the early spring, yeah, and even Tokyo. I know snow was forecast on the shortwave today. I was listening to shortwave Armed Forces Station there, and they had snow forecast there. Of course, flying space available, we'd be waiting in a terminal that would be heated, and we wouldn't have to get out in it much, but just the idea that it's out there, but it would certainly be a good thing to land on the East Coast. I mean, from the economic viewpoint. The other possibility, of course, is from Clark or from Taiwan, And we can fly to Guam, and then from Guam to Hawaii, and then from Hawaii to California, going back like we came, space available. These are all the possibilities that are going through our minds. And they're playing, I don't think that's Hail, Hail, the Gang All Here, but maybe one of these days it'll be Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here. As far as I'm concerned, in my own personal preference, it'd be very nice to see Star Hill and to see you, Jesse, up there in California, but I'd rather see you in my own home territory, and we'd much rather have that reunion take place on the shore of Lake Joanna.
Left England. By the way, I've made the greatest use of the Tarantara business in Act Two. And the police always sing Tarantara when they desire to work their courage to the sticking point. They're naturally timid, but through the agency of this talisman, they're enabled to acquit themselves well when concealed. In Act Two, when the robbers approach, their courage begins to fail them. But recourse to Tarantara, pianissimo, has the desired effect.
Nevertheless, it was probably some time before Sullivan was able to take advantage of the opportunity his partner had given him in this instance.
I hear them on the man approaching. With stealthy steps the pirates are approaching.
We are not coming for play for gold, a story generous and little. We seek a penalty principle for generous family story.
We seek a penalty
principle. We seek a penalty
principle.
We seek a penalty principle for generous family story.
They come in force with stealthy stride. Our obvious course is now to hide.
Fanfare.
Yeah, fanfare for a mama. It was great to get the tape, Lee, and it was good to hear Jesse. We really struck gold that day. That was the day your father was just about the bottom of the ladder, physically speaking. He was down with the flu, really flu. And we had called over at Fenwick Pier and discovered there was a lot of mail. In fact, Hayden had called us and wondered what happened, said we had lots of mail and two tapes. So MJ had thought he was going to feel like going, but he didn't. In fact, he wasn't even up. So he finally decided he'd let me go, and I went over and got the mail, mailed a whole bunch of letters and I think a tape also. And when we came back and played it, there was a tape from you. And there was also a tape from Aunt Betty. And she had filled us in on her illness. I think we wrote you about that. And she had my brother David there and Odine, and they talked quite a while. And then she finished up the one side and turned it over and talked just a little bit. And then there was this break, and David came on. Your brother David, our son. And it was really great to hear him. It's the first time he had communicated with us since about the 1st of August or the last of July last year. He sounded pretty good. He had a bad cold and was sniffing, but Betty says he looks good and seems to have settled down quite a bit. He's back working at the European Car Service. And is doing a good job, apparently, because, my brother had said that David helped locate a problem that a VW had had for 2 years, and it pleased his boss so that he took him out to lunch. So I guess that's pretty good. But it was encouraging that he would at least talk to us. Of course, he says that Betty twisted his arm by promising free food when he came over, but from what he said, the food wasn't what brought him, and that made us feel better too. So it sort of removed the last obstacle that would keep us from wanting to come home. And now we're really looking forward to it. I think MJ's just as excited as I am about it, if not more so. Problem is, we'll have to check into how we can go about getting visas for these other places that there's the possibility we might end up in. Because the Air Force won't fly you if you don't have a visa to land in any of these places, as we discovered when we were coming here. So we'll have to check into that right away. We were adding... Maybe not. As he was talking to you, I was adding up in my head how much it would cost if we flew home on this charter flight and then flew down to San Diego, or even went on the bus, and then flew home from there. And it would end up costing us right at $1,000. It doesn't sound like much when you say it's less than $300 to fly to Oakland, but that's twice that for the two of us. And then it costs $250 or a little more to fly, even at night, the cross-country flight to Florida. So that really adds up. Flurry of activity in the background and the noise is your father being little brownie to clean up the kitchen. I don't know whether he's trying to tell me something or not, but it's the first time he has felt like doing anything like that in well over a week. And since we finished our dinner, oh, by the way, guess I'll go back a little and tell you about today. Ducky and I went shopping this afternoon. I had wanted to find some of these little rice bowls and things to send home in a particular pattern, and I'd been trying to find cheaper than we could get them over at the China Fleet Club or any place else we'd seen, because somebody told me that you could buy them for half price other places. So she and I set out to look today, and we had a ball. We ended up down in Kowloon City, which is a little like the farmer's market area. And sure enough, I did find some much cheaper ones, and so I bought a few to send home. And we had to list all of those things and get them ready to take, to have packed. And we packed a few other things that we had. I packed a big box of clothes to send on. And we're trying a little at a time, each time we have an opportunity, to take things over and mail them. Ducky and Griff came... Was it yesterday? I believe. Yeah. And took us over to the Fenwick Pier to get the mail, and to the Fleet Club to mail some packages that we had. Because MJ sent a box of his professional books. Those are so heavy. And they just knew neither of us were up to carrying those things over to the bus line and then carrying them off the bus and through the long corridors that you have to get on the ferry and then off the ferry and all that. So they were real sweet. They came and picked us up and took us right to the door. And even so, MJ was exhausted when he got home. But he bounced back after an hour or so rest. And he's really beginning to look a little bit more like himself today and feel better. Boy, I tell you, last Sunday he got up and went and preached. We got someone else to conduct the first part of the service and lead the singing. And we came straight home after church, and he went right to bed, and he didn't get up until day before yesterday. He sat up in the chair part of the day. This, by the way, in order to get you the days in order, this is the 22nd of February, Friday evening after dinner. And when I got home tonight, he was hungry and I was a little bit tired, but I had some turkey in the refrigerator that I had thawed out of the freezer, and we had a Chinese stir-fry dinner. We had nuts and turkey and water chestnuts and a vegetable, chose some green, like kind of like light broccoli stems, and carrots and onions, and it was really good. We put it over rice, ate them with our chopsticks. Did you tell you what Dr. Chan did? He's the one who we just can't outsmart him, for one thing, and he's just the givenest person in the world. And he had a friend who was a very fine ivory carver who was in prison with him in Canton. And when he escaped from prison and swam to Hong Kong, so did this ivory carver. And we had asked him about some ivory because Kurt wanted some. And so we mentioned that we'd like to get a few sets of chopsticks before we went home. So the next time we saw him, he had the chopsticks all finished and carved on them, "To Dear Reverend Bowters." And on the other one, in each pair, "Dr. C.W. Chan." So, of course, we couldn't pay him for them. All we could do was just stand there with our bare faces hanging out and thank him. So we used those tonight to eat our rice and our... I guess this is another one of those things that the boys would call chop gum. They have a name for all these mixtures of things that I come up with. They said, "Yeah, oh yeah, they have a name for them. It's chop gum." They're good. Tuesday afternoon, while I was gone over to the pier to get the tape, the boys had tried to call, and MJ was just too tired to even answer the phone. So after I got back, along about 5 o'clock that afternoon, they called again, and little Daniel, the little boy who has a sort of a drawn, muscular thing wrong with his face, said, "Where were you this afternoon?" I just laughed. I said, "Well, I had to go out on some errands because my husband was sick." He said, "We'd like to come over to your house and study. We have a Bible quiz tomorrow." And I said, "Well, Daniel, my husband is sick in bed and he wouldn't even be able to see you." And he said, "Oh, we don't need to consult with him." And in other words, what they really needed was a place to study. He said, "There are three of us, and we have to discuss these things that we're studying." So I felt so sorry for him. I said, "Well, come on out." So I got MJ back to bed, and they came about 6 o'clock. Well, I knew they hadn't had anything to eat, but they went ahead and started studying. I gave them some hot tea and some little snackerels. And after they'd studied for about an hour and a half, I came in and made ham sandwiches for them and sliced some oranges that they could nibble on and made them some more tea. And they really studied. They're really fine boys, and it's just going to break our hearts when we have to leave them. I wish we could wish we had a big farm like Star Hill. We could just take them all home with us. They studied until almost 10 o'clock that night. They were studying the 16th chapter of Acts, I believe it was. Anyway, it was Paul's second missionary journey. And they were using the New English Bible, like the green one we sent you. And there were many words in there that they had never heard before. Whew, I'm sleepy. And I don't know what they would have done if I hadn't been around to kind of fill them in on what some of the words meant. Because, after all, you know, they have studied English. Jesse, we really enjoyed your story about Chop Shop. No, but I will. Would you like to come, please?
Hey, this is Jesse's side. Jesse? I really enjoyed your Chop Shop plan. And did you know that I was once in Chop Shop? See, I was in the Navy and I traveled all over the world. And I've been to Chop Shop. And everybody there is named Shopshop, just like you said. And you know, the ocean there, it comes rolling up to the beach. And you know, some places, the ocean goes swish or slush or splash. But in Shopshop, guess what it says? Yeah, that's right. It says Shopshop, Shopshop. And when the fishermen look out at sea, they say, oh, it's too shop-shoppy today, so I don't think we'll go fishing. And when the apples fall from the apple trees, they don't go kerplunk. Guess what they do when they fall from the trees? That's right. They go shop-shop, and they bounce along the road a little bit, going shop-shop, shop-shop, shop-shop. And they have horses in Shop-Shop. And as they go walking along the road, instead of going clop, 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 like they do some places, they go shop, 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 shop. It is really a strange place. And they have automobiles, and automobiles go along the road instead of going brrr like that. Guess what they do? You guessed it. They go shop, 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 shop. And they go shop, shopping down the road. It's the strangest land, the land of Shop-Shop. And I hope someday that maybe you and I can go to Shop-Shop. We'll get on that moor, you know, that I've got in Florida when we get to Florida. And we'll get on the moor and we'll start out down the road and we'll see if we can't find Shop-Shop. Wouldn't that be fun? And when we go there, guess what we'll do? We'll shop for something for Jesse, something nice. I don't know what it'll be, maybe a shop tool? Or a shopping bag, or something to eat, like shop suey maybe, or shop gum, or, well, we'll think of something. Anyway, that's a pretty nice town, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to live in Shop-Shop, except for one thing. There aren't any children in Shop-Shop, and I love a place where there are children. One of the things we like about it here is that there's so many lovely children, and they eat with chopsticks. That's right. The little children here eat with chopsticks, but this isn't Shop Shop. But they could live there because they eat with chopsticks. And we do a lot of shopping. In fact, grandmother was telling your mother a while ago about going out and shopping for some chopsticks and bowls and things like that. And so as the sun slowly slips over the horizon, we say goodbye to the land of Shop-Shop. Goodbye, Shop-Shop. We've enjoyed knowing you, and we hope we never see you again. Farewell, farewell, farewell. Hey, Lee, I wonder if you take a piece of adhesive tape or something like that and put over that condenser mic, if that wouldn't keep it from going all the time. The thing that we discovered with them is that if you put it quite a way away from you, it will still pick up quite well. It's non-directional, of course, and it also is has the automatic volume control, so you set it, you don't have to worry about setting the volume, and however you record, it'll pick it up. Of course, you get a little bit more background noise if you're farther away or if the source of sound is soft, but it will pick up okay. And one thing about it, it probably is good for a person's radio technique because you should cut down on your sibilant sounds. I know I had a real hard time at Carlsbad Union Church with the PA system there because it was so sensitive. And when we recorded, well, we got a lot of from me on it. And it made me conscious of it, and I used to make an effort to keep from saying oops. S sounds too hard, and I think it's good for us. But if you put something over that condenser mic, it might help. Also, I'm going to look for one of the little plug-in mics because it will take one. And if I can find a JVC, Nivico, I think it is, if I can find the microphone like the one we have on the little Sony here, it has an off and on switch right on the microphone, just like the Sony mic you were talking about. If I can get one for you, I will. They won't be very much here, and I'll send you one. Also, the little earphone things are a dime a dozen. I'll try to pick up one of those, too, if Jesse gets a big kick out of listening to him himself while he's talking, or listening to you while you're talking, or listening to anything else through the earphone. It is kind of nice to be able to monitor. For instance, if you are recording from a radio, like I do frequently here, because it's so much good music, I have a patch cord that goes from the output of the radio directly into the proper plug on the little tape recorder. Then you can plug in an earphone, and you can hear what's going into your tape recorder. You know exactly what it's sounding like as it goes in, whether it's blasting or, you know, that sort of thing. So it would be kind of a nice way to have one. So I'll try to get you a microphone and an earphone as well for your little thing. The batteries were, I had used them only, they had been in there for about a week, I guess. They must have been bad when I bought the cassette recorder. I got it from the Navy. Sometimes batteries aren't what they're supposed to be when you buy them. In fact, I just discovered that with a set of four that I'm using my little electric shaver. I put them in and they wouldn't work, period. So I took one of the old batteries and stuck in until I found the one that was bad. And sure enough, one of them was completely shot, brand new. So it does happen. Get yourself four more, I think it takes four, and it should be good for at least a good 10 hours of use. We had the batteries in it, but of course we plugged it in here. It was set for 220 current here, but I changed it before I sent it on to you for 110. So I guess that's enough about the tape recorder. I certainly have enjoyed my all-wave radio that you hear playing in the background. It's a Sony also, and I get the Armed Forces radio from Washington, D.C., and get all the latest news. This is the local FM station now, and it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bands, and shortwave, let's see if I can get the station. Yeah. Imagine, that's Washington, D.C. The Atlantic Coast Conference, North Carolina State, all top ranked nationally. One big college basketball team in the top 10 today will be third ranked UCLA, hoping to bounce back after that double disaster last weekend in the Pac-8. They'll be entertaining Washington State at Pauley Pavilion tonight. Between four, the Bruins tonight will give them temporary possession of first place again. They are currently deadlocked with USC for the top spot in the conference. This is the postseason basketball game. How UCLA has fallen. A third event has been added. Before the week is over, at least 18 of the leading independent teams should find themselves entered in one of the three events. There are three major postseason tournaments this year with the addition of the Collegiate Commissioners Association event at St. Louis, like to be there. The teams in that one will be limited to eight also-rans from among nine of the leading conferences. That's of the nine best independents around the land. The NCAA extends its bid on Thursday, February the 28th, with the NIT then getting a choice of the leftovers. The NCAA also gets the 16 major conference champions around the country. Right now, most of those conference races are red hot. Even the Pac-8, where the perennial NCAA champion Bruins of UCLA are locked in the first place tie with Southern Cal. The NCAA figures to grab Notre Dame, Marquette, Harvard, South Carolina, Pittsburgh, Oral Roberts, Cincinnati, Memphis State, and Creighton. That leaves the NIT with likely choices of Boston College, St. John's, the Dayton Flyers, Detroit, Jacksonville, Manhattan Steelers, Marshall, Rutgers, and a good Syracuse basketball team. Staying with college basketball, North Carolina State wasn't even mentioned, and they're better than UCLA. How about that? Well, maybe David Jesse would like to hear some Chinese stations. This is one of these talk programs, I believe. Somebody's calling in with a complaint. Yeah, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm. He
says the reason you got the ticket is because you're in a no parking zone. Sounds like a shop shop, doesn't it?
How many spears are there on the ground?
An English lesson.
How many spears are there on the ground?
How many spears are there on the ground? Now, there's a sentence you could use.
There are four spears on the ground.
There are four spears on the ground. 地面上有四支红缨枪.
Please read after me. What's there?
What's there?
On the ground.
On the ground.
What's there on the ground?
What's there on the ground?
It's an English lesson.
There's a spear.
I knew it all the time.
On the ground.
I knew it, didn't you, Jesse?
On the ground.
There's a spear on the ground.
Well, pick it up, stupid.
There's a spear on the ground.
How many spears are there?
He just told you.
How many spears are there?
On the ground.
On the ground.
How many spears are there on the ground?
I think the guy's kind of stupid, don't you, Jesse?
How many spears are there on the ground?
Don't worry about how many spears are on the ground.
There are four spears.
Jesse knew it because she told him a while
ago.
There
are four spears.
On the ground.
Where else?
On the ground.
In my back.
There are four spears on the ground.
There are four spears on the ground.
Sounds to me like listen, this record's please. Broken.
What's there on the
ground? I was just giving him a taste of the dial in Chinese.
Class is over.
Yeah, there's some Britishers here too, of course.
Turn to page 31, please. Page 31.
I think he's giving a lesson, too.
Let's read the text. Lesson 4. Text.
How many spears are in my neck?
Good afternoon, comrade. What can I do for you?
I'd like to borrow a copy of the Staten Revolution by Lenin. We must study it this week.
That is definitely Radio Peking. Communists are giving an English lesson. How about that? Everything you want to say to Lee? That's some beautiful Chinese opera music.
You should be here and enjoy this delicious piece of crystallized ginger with me. We finally discovered a place where we can buy the most delicious crystallized ginger just in time to go home and leave.
Just so we don't examine their political leanings
too
closely.
Oh, watch it. I don't think it creeps into their ginger. Oh, my. We will miss all the fresh ginger root. That's something that we're going to have to learn to grow in Florida, I guess.
We'll, there's about 5 minutes left. We'll save it for breakfast, okay?
Okay.
Well, we didn't save it for breakfast. In fact, we didn't even save it for lunch. It's the middle of the afternoon now. And we're about ready to go to town, and we figure we better get this thing finished so we can mail it. I guess we're going to go on across to the China Freak Club. I suppose, are they open Saturday afternoon? Okay. John and Daniel and Paul have been here since the middle of the morning, and they stayed for chop gum. Is that what you had? Shop gum?
head was refrigerated.
Refrigerated. What did you all call it, John?
I think
you have no name as what you said, chop gum.
Oh, chop gum. Okay, chop gum. No name but chop gum. Okay. And we're about ready to collect the other two boys down the front yard. They're down there playing soccer or badminton or something. And John is straightening up, bless his heart. He's putting the Bibles away. Or that's right. They're going to buy us $10 worth of geeds, the foot shuttlecocks. Maybe that's what they're playing down below.
He's playing badminton.
We ask them to buy a bunch of them so we can send them back to the States. They're made here out of old telephone books. But that's $10 Hong Kong, of course, which is only $2 U.S., so we're not as profligate as we sound. And
Mrs. Fawdens, this is your cookbook.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Bet.
Thank you. Thank Lee for her songs that she sang for us.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse's, too.
We appreciate the songs you sang on your tape and also Jesse's songs. And this is a light of mine. I appreciate the fact when he was going to hide it under a bushel, no, he says, it looks like a mushroom. This, our grandson, his mother was teaching him to sing, this little light of mine, you know, and when he went to hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. When he did like this, he said, it looks like a mushroom. Oh, boy.
He's a character.
So, you want to tell your daughter goodbye?
Yeah, it's bye.
Like, well, it isn't quite that fast.
Oh, well. Bye twice. We'll be in touch with you and let you know as things progress here, Lee.
Bye-bye, Jesse. Take care of things up at Star Hill and in Chop Chop Land. And we'll take care of things here in Hong Kong Land. We're going to go out now in a minute, go out through the gate and then walk around the block to the other side where the bus stops. And we're going to get on the big double-deck bus. We go upstairs in this big double-deck bus and sit up by the front window. And he goes, broom, broom, goes down the street madly and comes screeching to a stop.
I have two little bitty ones I'm bringing home, one for him and one for Michelle.
Oh,
double-decker buses,
toy
that is.
Buses, huh?
Yeah, little toy ones.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
I should have sent them, but I forgot it last time when I was sending these little package, which she should have gotten about now.
Crusader Shakuhachi are playing too.
Yeah, he's going to play you a little farewell music, I think.
This isn't a solo, this is background music.
Oh, I'm sorry. And so as the sun, which we haven't even seen today, sinks slowly in the afternoon western sky, or some such thing. We're supposed to have a cold wave hit tonight. Hope it doesn't. We're going down to town and do some shopping, and then we're going over and have dinner with Ducky and Griff. Goodness. You must have just thought that was the end.
Well, shall I play with this on the
something. What should we sing? They sang for us.
Praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him at the noontime, praise him, praise him, praise him when the sun goes down. Children, thank him, thank him. Thank him in the morning, thank him at the noontime, thank him, thank him, thank him when the sun goes down.
Li Homa, Ho Hei Wang Kin Li.
This is means how you would want to meet you here.
That's good.
We come here every Sunday for Bible study. And we thank you so much that Mr. Walters helped us a lot. And we hope that we can grow physically and most spiritually.
Good.
And so our English is very poor. That
it's not. It's much better than our Cantonese.
We hope so, that we have a. We want to progress anyway. And excuse me.